Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Come on, stand up and give Him your best. You know how we do that here at SCRC. Father, we worship You. Father, we worship You. We worship You. Father, we worship You. What are You going to say on the day You see Him? On the day He appears, how will You respond to God? I don't think it's going to be anything like that. I actually think we are going to go, oh my God! And this eruption of the multitudes, according to Revelation, if Revelation chapter 5 is right, before me I saw a great multitude which no man can number. And we're all going to be standing there, and not all of you are named Mike, but I'm going to look at Mike and say, Mike, dude, seriously, we're here. And more importantly, He's here. Woo! Now give Him the amazing, amazing ovation. You won't be contained to your body. You won't be contained to your natural hands. You won't be contained. There'll be no volume monitor. There'll be no deafness. Nobody will be saying, can you turn the speakers down? Because the ovation will be from the hearts of the saints. And His majesty will walk into the room, Isaiah 6. And behold, I saw before me this king sitting upon his throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. When the king comes in. That's what it says, Isaiah 6. Check it out. Isaiah had this great moment before God. It's one of my favorite chapters, you know. You've heard me say it in the 18 years we've been here. That is just an amazing... I want that kind of epiphany where I'm standing there going, Pastor Mike, look at him. Look at him. I want to be looking at my daughters. I want to be looking at my bride that was here with me. I want to be looking at my grandkids and saying, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. I mean, seriously. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Whew. I mean, that's an amazing day. Won't that be an amazing day for you? Hey, you know, go ahead, yeah. You don't have to have my permission to say, I want to fall before Him, prostrate where I am, where I can't even go ahead and have a seat just a sec, where I can't even imagine getting back up and say, oh my goodness, I am before the King. By the way, Terry and Karen Getting this week, and all of your family sent home our precious Roberta to be with Jesus this last week. And by the way, she is doing this. Leon! You know the song, I Can Only Imagine? I don't know what I'm going to do. That's one of my dad's favorite songs because I can't even imagine, you know, I can't even imagine. And they actually, somebody was brilliant and anointed enough to write the song and the words. I can only imagine what I'll do when I see Him on that day. Okay, the video you just saw, by the way, was One Day to Feed the World video on Easter. If I say Christmas, somebody yell Easter, okay? So that's what I almost said to you. So I'm going to tell you, that's what Pastor Pam goes through. That's what my wife goes through. When I there's something that's in my head. So I'm saying Easter Sunday morning, we are taking a One Day to Feed the World offering. We've done this now for several years. Can I tell you what just happened recently? First of all, if you don't know, I have joined the team of Convoy of Hope officially as a field team leader. I take teams around the world on behalf of Convoy of Hope as a partner. Now, this church has long been a partner. We have had Hal Donaldson, a friend of ours, of this church. Hal Donaldson is a personal friend of Hal and Dory are of Gina and myself. I met Hal in Portugal in 2006, bring it up to speed. Hal came to me about a year and a half ago and said, can you join the team? You're doing stuff that we want to partner with what you're doing, and maybe you can bring some ideas to the table for us. And I said, I doubt seriously that I can do that, but I want to partner with you. And so that's what I do. I take teams around the world. When I was there last in January 30th, Rex and I, you know, my pastor Rex, he's one of our elders, our honorary elders here. He and I, we didn't know we were going on the same Convoy of Hope trip. He called me up and he's about 2 weeks before, he said, hey, Bear, do you mind if I hang out at your house at the Ivy Homestead on the 28th after I teach on the Sunday morning service here? Because I'm flying out of St. Louis to a Convoy of Hope trip. I said, so am I. Where are you going? Dad's in the car with me. I said, so am I. Where are you going? He said, I got to go to Haiti. I said, so am I. What team are you going on? He said, well, there's a group that's going for only 4 days, the construction team. They're coming back on the 4th of February, and I'm going to stay till the 10th with the medical team. I said, are you serious? That's my trip. And we realized Springfield did one on us. They stuck me in the same room with Rex Bornman. Okay. I love that guy. He's my bud, you know. And so, okay, I said, yeah, come on, we'll hang. So anyway, we got down there, and the team we met down there was from Charlotte, or actually Rockford, North Carolina, and so here's this is a one day to feed the world church. They gave $43,000 last year, one day to feed the world. One day to feed the world is on Easter Sunday morning. We will take an offering. It's not going to be about us that day. This is about Jesus that day. And so, one day to feed the world. This is Convoy of Hope's way. We feed 90,000 children every day in Haiti alone. And you're a part of that with the one day to feed the world offerings. So I meet this team and they're like, well, on the third day, we want to take them to one day to Mission of Hope and Convoy of Hope. We share a big warehouse there because the one day to feed the world food is stored there for all of Haiti. And I know that. I've been there. And so I take this team in and they're weeping. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm starting to get what the significance of this. They just gave 2 months prior a one day to feed the world offering of $43,000. And they're standing there, if you'd see the pictures of this warehouse, with the rows of massive rows. I mean, a warehouse that towers about another full half a story from what we are here of food educational information for children, and a lot, and the majority of it is about Christian education, but we support schools, we support the orphanages that are down there, and these people are walking around weeping and they're touching the boxes. I gave it. I'm touching it in the warehouse. And after I got really the significance of what I was witnessing here, I was seeing the tears. I just saw what I gave. I get it. I said, it's going to get better because we're going to France Lee's orphanage tomorrow. And you will serve those babies. And you will serve those orphans the food from the warehouse. So you get this. 2 months ago, they gave one day's pay to feed the world and prayed to God it would go well. Then they saw it and they touched it in the warehouse. And then they served it on the trays to the babies and the orphans in that France Lee's orphanage. It's an amazing process. But I'm going to tell you, that food got there. And that food feeds 90,000, just in Haiti alone, 90,000 children a day. We feed, as a partner of Convoy of Hope, we feed 1% of the total population of all of Haiti. If you don't know the history of Haiti, the earthquake that took place what year was that, huh? I just went blank. 2010, I believe, immediately killed 300,000 people. I've been to the memorial, the two mountains where they literally put 150,000 bodies in each mountain. In a bulk grave, a mass grave. Because they had to get they had to get bacteria under control. They had to get disease under control. Immediately, hundreds of thousands of orphans were born that day. And today, you're partnering. And I just want to tell you, one day to feed the world is that big. It's that big of a day. It's not just Haiti. It's around the world. It's around the world. We don't do anything we do, though, without prayer. And that is what I want to talk with you about for the next few minutes. We're still in the core value series. It's in today, this core value, we don't start anything without prayer. The first core value is the headship of Christ. He is number one. Nothing comes before Him. Nothing ever will come before Him. Nothing will ever be allowed to. He said in the Ten Commandments that we're to have no other God before Him. You remember that? Everybody say yes. So God is number one. We remember that. But as the church, we see in the book of Acts, we see this amazing history of them never doing things on behalf of Christ without first invoking the power of God into that moment. In other words, they prayed. Now, I'm not saying they said a prayer. Can I tell you there's a big difference in saying a prayer and praying? I don't say a conversation with Gina. I don't say anything at her. We talk. We have a conversation. And I listen. Boy, do I listen. I learned after 36 years, I need to listen to my bride because she actually says things I need to hear. God's word teaches that the marriage is the reflection of our relationship. We are the bride of Christ. We get that. We're the bride of Christ. We're married to the groom. And our bridegroom is coming back for us. And he said, be ready. Don't be like the brides who are not ready for the bridegroom to return. And so we bathe ourselves in prayer. We don't say prayers. We bathe ourselves in prayer. There's something about these. And there's nothing wrong with baby prayers, by the way. I love, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. God help me. If I should die before I wake, oh my Lord, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now that's a beautiful prayer for a child. But as we grow, God's word is clear about the conversation growing. And the longer I was married to Gina, I promise you the conversation grew and the conversation expanded and we learned each other. I just learned my wife does not eat sweet potatoes. I just learned it. 36 years I've been married to her. I've never seen her eat one, but I didn't know she wouldn't eat one. I after all these years, I'm going, huh? I told her not long ago we were invited and to do something, and they were serving sweet potatoes, and she said, I can't eat them. I already told them yes. What do you mean you can't eat? I didn't know that. I didn't. I've never seen. Have you ever seen me eat a sweet potato? In 36, well, we've been together 39 years total. 39 years. No. Maybe I should have listened when she wasn't saying something. Maybe it's the things she didn't say that I should have listened to. It's a conversation. It's a, how many know what I'm saying? How many of you wives wish your husbands would be paying attention to the things you're not even saying, but you know they should know? Because you're trying to send the signal. There's something about prayer. Now don't be picking on other people. There's something about a conversation, and that's what prayer is. Prayer is not a ritual. Prayer is, if you ever go and eat with me, don't be offended. This is how I pray. Father, thank you for this food. Amen. It doesn't have to be this, oh God. Listen, if you do that to me, I'm eating. I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead and start eating. Because I don't need a religious moment. I need the food. And I want to glorify God, thank Him. I know a guy that walks into the grocery store before he shops and he goes, Lord, bless the food in Jesus' name. Amen. That's his prayer. Prayer is amazingly powerful. Prayer invokes the presence of God. It doesn't have to be a religious or a contrived moment. In fact, if it is, we're warned about that in Matthew chapter 6. Let me just tell you before that in chapter 5, Jesus is teaching and he's talking about loving your enemies. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be a different people than other people. That's what God's word says. Be different. This is how all men will know you're my disciples, by the way you love one another. Be different. And this is where, at the end of chapter 5, he's teaching about loving your enemies. He said, you've heard it said, love your brother, hate your enemies. He said, but I'm telling you, pray for your enemies. So get the picture here. He's talking about be a different people. Model a different value system. Model something that's bigger than yourself. And so then he goes into chapter 6. He didn't write it in chapters, by the way. He's teaching. Somebody's just recording this history. And it was Matthew at this particular one, on this particular one. He said, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before other men. Now he's talking about motive. You remember? Now he's talking about motive. Don't, you know, be different. And when you do something good, when you hand somebody $125, I don't know why $125. Eli reaches out to grab it. When you give somebody $125, don't go over here and say, did you see that? I blessed that brother. I love blessing that brother. You know, I love blessing. Don't do that. That's what Jesus is teaching. Be a different kind of people. Be a different kind of person that walks right on by and drops the $125 and meets the need. I'm not just saying you because you're throwing money around. That's got to check your motive there too. If you're throwing money around, talk to me. I'm leaving for Panama in 1 week. If you're throwing money around. But it's an honest motive is what Jesus is talking about here. Look at the motive. And then he goes on in verse 5, he says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door. In other words, it's the private prayers Jesus is showing that he values. It's those conversations where you're driving along the road. Well, read Deuteronomy chapter 6. When you get up in the morning, when you're driving along, when you're eating in your kitchen, when you're fixing the food, when you're getting a haircut, be the witness. You know, talk to God. Have an honest conversation. Don't be spooky about it. Lord knows, don't be spooky about it. It's not about saying the eloquent prayer. I've been with people when I say, hey, dude, you want to pray over the food? I'm really expecting it. Father, bless the food in Jesus' name. Amen. And they start dying. Their throat chokes up. They don't know how to pray. Well, don't worry. That's been going on for 2,000 years. Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'll teach you how to pray. It's really simple. It's really simple. And it reflects the values of God. First, adore God. Tell him, our Father, man, you just acknowledge the Creator. Get that. You declared who he was. Heavenly Father, bless this food. And he's the blesser. He's the one who brings the blessing. You just said who he was, right? By the action, you're saying who he was. But then he goes on to say, he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I said he, and when he sees the things that you're doing in secret, he'll reward you. Verse 7 says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. They were saying prayers. Get that. They were saying prayers because those were the prayers they were taught to pray. At some point, this is a heart relationship. You don't want, ladies, how many want your men to be memorizing lines to say to you? Do you remember those episodes where Gomer Pyle or you name that kind of a guy, you know, he doesn't know how to talk to a woman, and they got a speaker in his ear, and Gomer's at the window talking, you know, to a girl, and somebody's over under the bush saying, tell her you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Tell her you are. No! If it doesn't come from your heart, brother, I mean, God wants to hear your heart. Your wife wants to hear your heart. Baby, you look good. You getting that? Did you hear that? Baby, you look good. I won't go any further than that, but you get the point. Heavenly Father, you are awesome. I am amazed. I mean, the passion of your heart. Is he the passion of your heart? I want to ask you. If God is not the passion of your heart, you're probably saying prayers. You're probably saying things you have. Seriously. Father, may bless the. And I'm not picking on your prayer life. If this is what you say, this is what you say. But I know people that can't get past. Lord, bless the hands that prepared it. I've heard that all my life. That's okay. It's a beautiful intent. Really is a beautiful intent. But are you praying it because that's what your daddy prayed? Or is this, Lord, bless Pam. Bless Pam. The other night, it was bless Carmen. It was the greatest sweet potato I ever had. It was a great sweet potato. Bless Mike, Lord God, bless Mike. That was a great chop. I was chewing on the bone. I mean, I was chewing it down to the bone. Lord bless Mike all night. Lord bless Mike. Thank you for Mike, the way he grilled these, or the way he cooked these pork chops. When you pray, God, what Christ is saying here is he values more the private conversations that you have with him than those big camp meetings where you fill the room and people are walking around. You got to get a warble in your voice if you're going to do this, by the way. Am I right? Oh, God. I've been in more of those kind of meetings where I'm serious. I'm sorry. I believe that there is levels of sincerity. I do. I will not judge. But I'm telling you, we have had those kind of meetings in here through the years. Over 18 years. We founded St. Charles River Church. My wife and I have been here since day one. And on one particular occasion, we had a month of every Friday night we met in here and we prayed together and we were just looking for the power of God we weren't looking for signs and you know, the evidence. We were looking for the causer to show up, because when the causer shows up, the signs and wonders show up. Understand, there's a difference in going after the causer and the effects. I'm not looking for the effects. They'll come because the causer shows up. And then the miracles, the signs, and the wonders do take place. So anyway, on the third Friday night, this group of individuals came from a really large church here in the area. Six or seven families exited that one large church. It's a charismatic church. And they landed here, and God bless them. They were, most of them, you know, kind of tried to fit in just a little bit, but there was something unique about the way they viewed people who don't pray like them. And during this prayer time, for 3 weeks, I watched this particular set of families walking around, and they were the loudest. They were the absolute loudest. None of them are here today. But they were the loudest. And one stopped me back by, I was just enjoying God's presence. I was actually just worshiping God and spending time talking to God, asking God to bless you, asking God to pour into your families, asking God to anoint you, asking God to fill you with His Spirit, asking God, and just, Lord, these are your families. Bless them in Jesus' name. And you are amazing, God. There was just a great time of prayer, and this guy stops me back there, and he was just disgusted. He said, "What's wrong with these people?" Now, he was mad. This brother was speaking in tongues walking around this room. Get the picture. He was speaking in tongues walking around this room. Then he stops me back there. "What's wrong with these people? Don't they like to pray? What's wrong with them?" And he's disgusted. He said, "If this church isn't going to be a church that prays, I'm not going to come here." That's, some of the meanest people I've ever met are the loudest prayers at the prayer meeting. Y'all getting the picture? What did Jesus just say? Don't do that. Don't do that. Because I'm telling you, you need Jesus if you're mean. I'm saying you need to go back to, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord." You need to go back to milk. Get back into, "Oh, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another." This guy was so angry at people who didn't value prayer like he did, he quit. I am perplexed by that oxymoron. You get the picture? You get the picture. I am perplexed by, I'm not going to go much longer, but I am perplexed by those who are so taken back that others don't pray like me. And can I tell you something? Some of the most amazing people I've ever seen walk with God, a little man named Jim Ohl, one of the greatest little men I've ever seen. He's about to go be with the Lord soon. Jim Ohl just walked with God. And with this guy was the man of the hour at First Assembly of God, the church that we were at for 18 years before this church. Jim Ohl was a quiet, but he had a beautiful spirit. Man, he just walked around. He just walked with Jesus. He was my Enoch. He was my Enoch. He walked with God. One day God's going to take him. But I would look over at Jim Ohl. I'd say, "Jim..." Nobody really called him Jim, by the way. We all called him Brother Ohl, just out of respect to this brother, this elder statesman. What do you hear? He was kind of our E.F. Hutton. Do you remember the old commercials? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Do you remember those? Listen, this guy just walked quietly. And he would walk by me and he'd go, "Hey, Pastor Barry, we're just rubbish, but he loves us." And he'd walk on. Am I right? He would, Sherry, right? I know the boyettes know. This guy, I mean, he wasn't boisterous. He didn't have the loudest prayers. By the way, I'm sorry I have the loudest voice in the room. Okay, I know that. I acknowledge that. Why is this guy yelling? He's got the loudest voice in the whole room. I am passionate about my God. I am passionate about that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite about it. I do this at home. I worship God. I love to be in a car. I've had people drive by me laughing at me as I'm enjoying the presence of God in my car. There's anybody else in the car with me, right? And I'm talking. They just laugh. You know, I'm like, no, I'm not talking to myself. I'm boring. I don't talk to myself. But there's this something that happens during the time of prayer. I'm talking about that personal time where you're alone with God. Now, there's times where you're driving and there's a lot of things going on while you're having conversations. But I'm talking about that time where you get alone. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Nothing replaces the time of intimacy with God. Gina put me on a boat for 7 days. And nobody else could get to me on this cruise ship. This is what she said as she boarded the... Now you're all mine. My phone doesn't work when I get about 40 miles outside of Fort Lauderdale. My phone goes dead. She looks at me. I got you now. You're all mine for the next 7 days. Don't you know that our groom wants us all to himself? I just want to, don't you ladies want your man all to yourself sometimes where nobody else is distracting him? Don't you want an intimate relationship? Well, that's all the Father is saying to us. Come to the table. Amen. Come. Who's ringing? Whose phone's ringing? Just go ahead and, that's all right. Just go ahead and I'll answer it if you want me to. It'll be all right. Maybe I'm supposed to talk to him. By the way, if you don't worship God, even the dogs will in this auditorium. Even the dogs will cry out. I'm telling you, I've heard it. I've seen it. The dogs. I don't know if you heard that a while ago, Pastor Mike, while you were leading worship. That was a beautiful. I'm like, worship team, canine worship team. Stand with me for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we love you. We acknowledge that you are God. We acknowledge your supreme nature above us. And we simply say, Lord, If we have ever tried to do anything or be anything outside of invoking the power of God through a time of intimate prayer, God, I ask you to forgive us and that you would come in and that you would make us aware more than ever, God, that you want to have a beautiful, intimate relationship with us every day, every morning, every afternoon, every evening, that when we lay our heads down, Father, that we'll be able to rest in you. And trust that if somehow you take us in our sleep, we pray the Lord our soul to take in Jesus' name. And every believer said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. I'm going to get the welcome team to come up. And we're going to receive today. This is our last Sunday before we leave for Panama. And I have not taken one offering in the entire time for Panama. But I'm going to ask you to pray while you're here today. Pray about what you might give and sacrifice for the people of Panama. We will be there for 6 days, 6 nights. We leave this coming Sunday morning. Please be in church. If we're away, please fill this house. Fill this house. Fill this house. Come in and worship together with Pastor Mike, the worship team. He will be here leading worship. Please come and fill the house. Invite people to come and be a part of a service and a time of worship and teaching that morning. Come on up, guys. Want to come on a... go ahead and take this morning's tithes and this morning's offering for Panama. As you are writing a check, I'm going to give you a second while you're doing that. I do want to say also, if you want to use your credit card, always use wisdom. Always use good judgment. If you use a credit card here at SCRC, Pam will have it available for you in the cafe. If you don't have a check on you, you don't have cash on you, just remember something. These children are worth investing in. Jesus said, I didn't, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You're sending a team from this church this Sunday. What would you invest in the children of Panama? In Jesus' name. I've seen these children. I can't tell you how many times, I've been there. Many of you have been there a lot of times with us in Panama, in Corundu. And you know what those children look like. You've looked into the eyes of those babies. You've held some of those babies. Some of you worked in the medical clinics. Some of you worked in our pharmacy. Some of you worked construction. Dexter, you're about to go with us. Dexter and his team at Lions Club, in Jesus' name, thank you. They supplied 500 reading glasses for the people of Corundu for this trip. Give the Lord a huge hand. Isn't that awesome? How many of you are going? Would you stand if you're going with me to Corundu this week? Stand up. Stand up across the auditorium. I'd like every person that is going to Corundu, to Panama with me. Many are away, and many are actually from other churches. We're starting to get others. We're having a nurse fly in from Charlotte, North Carolina, one of the teams I met in Haiti. He is one of our nurses. Rob said, I got to hear what you're doing in Panama. What is this? And I said, well, this is what we're doing. He said, I'm in, and he cuts a check. I said, well, don't hand that to me. You got to pay for your own airfare to get you down there, because you're not, unless you fly into St. Louis. But he's doing that. God is sending people to meet our need and for the children of Panama. God bless you guys. So those of you who are standing, remain standing just for a second. Heavenly Father, bless, multiply the sacrificial offering. The children of Panama are depending on us to care about them. The teachers there in Corundu in the school, believers full of God's Spirit, are depending on us to sacrifice so that their children can have hope beyond this place called Corundu. But God, you are transforming Corundu. You're putting Christian police officers, male and female, on the streets. They're carrying their Bibles for the first time. Police officers are carrying their Bibles, God. You've opened doors, putting a Christian mayor in at Panama City. You have opened up opportunity that Corundu could never have imagined, and this team is going forward, and this church is sending us in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive that commission today, and we leave this place not representing America, but representing the great kingdom of Jesus Christ and nothing less. And bearing the cross of Jesus Christ and the hope of the cross for the teachers and the children and the families there in Corundu. In Jesus' name, we say this to you. Yes, Lord, for your will and your good pleasure. Give the Lord a great hand. Would you do that? Thank you for giving.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.